pray as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus that have been preserved for us down the centuries. We thank you for their contemporary power. And we ask that you would help us to have hearts that are open, that we might hear your word to us this morning. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Can you sit down? Well, it's true, isn't it, that sometimes in life an unexpected thing can result from a most unpromising start. Some small happening turns out to be crucial in altering the course of events. Something seemingly insignificant has a huge influence. Something apparently unimportant produces lasting change. Well, the series of events that we've had in the last few days with the general election show some of these characteristics. A political party which was in parliamentary terms in the backwaters for 70 years and despite winning less seats than at the previous election, finds itself the decider of what government comes to power and sees its leader becoming the deputy prime minister. Life throws up other examples. A person from a humble background with few advantages through a mixture of hard work, favourable circumstances and opportunity becomes unusually famous or successful in their field. A movement that began with a tiny number of adherents ends up mobilising many to change laws or practices, overcoming powerful obstacles. As the medieval English proverb puts it, great oak trees from little acorns grow. Well, this morning we're continuing our look at some of Jesus' parables in Luke's Gospel. And we find as we look at the ones that we read in chapter 13, Jesus teaching that in the case of God's kingdom, in the situation involving the loving, saving rule of God through him, what appears small and insignificant has an extraordinary destiny. And this should shape our living and our outlook for the future as Christian believers. Well, do turn, if you haven't done already, to those two little parables in Luke chapter 13, page 1051 in the Black Church Bibles. And as we reach this part of Luke's Gospel, Jesus is being presented to us as the Saviour, the rescuer of all types of people. He is God's unique King who has come to seek and to save those who are lost. He's just spoken challenging words about the need for everybody to turn back to God because of the coming reality of judgment. And he has healed a disabled woman, showing the power and the grace of God's loving kingdom, even to the most unlikely of people. Well, then Jesus tells these two very short stories to make his important point. They're so short it's worth reading them again. Verse 18 of chapter 13. Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. So Jesus says in the first parable, the situation with the kingdom of God is like the situation with a tiny seed. A man sowed it in the garden, and the seed grew to become a tree that was big enough for birds to nest in. Now, black mustard seed was a common plant at the time, and its seeds were tiny. Indeed, they were proverbial for smallness, about 1 millimetre in diameter. But the plant, with such small and unpromising beginning, grows to become a plant that reaches 2 to 3 metres in height, 6 to 10 feet. And it can do that in one season. And in doing that, it produces branches strong enough for birds to perch on. So the point is that a small seed can grow into something enormous. And Jesus is saying that God's kingdom rule begins in a tiny way, but it will grow to have huge influence. In the other story, a woman takes some leaven, some yeast, and puts it and mixes it into a large amount of bread dough. Jesus says 3 measures, which was a significant amount, 5 gallons, 20-odd litres. The yeast then works through the entire batch of dough. So the point here is that a little yeast can have a very, very big effect. And so it is with God's loving kingdom rule. The yeast seems hidden in the dough. God's kingdom influence seems small in many places. But one day it will be complete. Jesus' work is the beginning of a powerful process which will eventually lead to the reconciliation and the renewal of all things when he returns to earth. So both of these stories show that God's kingdom starts small, it grows gradually, and one day will grow to vast proportions and influence. And that pattern has implications for us in two key areas. The first is growth in the Christian life. Now, very often the beginnings of real faith in Jesus are quiet and unimpressive. We sometimes hear of a spectacular story where someone has lived a very wild and publicly sinful life and then had their life changed dramatically when they turn to Christ and become a follower of Jesus. Now, we should praise God for those terrific stories, but usually it is ordinary people like you and me, truly sinful but not in a very public sort of a way, people who encounter the message of the good news in everyday life. Perhaps it's through a mother at our childhood bedside, a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker, a friend at school, a colleague at work who invites us to some church event. Many possibilities. But in God's grace, the message of the gospel brings new life as God's Holy Spirit opens our hearts and we are enabled to turn to him and to trust in him. Now, along with a commonly unremarkable beginning, which starts with the tiny seed of God's word, the hidden influence of the good news, gradual growth seems to be the usual pattern of the Christian life. Now, there are times when that we might like a dramatic, sudden growth spurt in our Christian experience. And sometimes in God's grace, a big step forward is made in a short time. But generally speaking, God's kingdom rule grows gradually in our lives. Now, this is important to remember, for there are some who will offer us quick fixes. A radical new insight that will suddenly change everything. A new spiritual experience that will sort everything out in a flash. Well, beware of those sorts of claims. Because in general, God's work in our lives as Christians is gradual. God's work in our lives is steady, without major shortcuts. And that happens as God's Holy Spirit, through God's word, works in us. As we're encouraged by others in the church family, as we're nourished by Jesus, by his written word, and through the visible word of communion. The seed of God's word gradually grows in our lives. The steady permeation of our lives by the yeast of the kingdom of God increases. But then eventually, there will be completion, and we shall share the fully fulfilled kingdom of God and its life when Jesus returns. So like the seed growing in the garden, like the yeast permeating the dough, growth in the Christian life is usually gradual and steady. The Christian life is, if you like, more like a marathon than a sprint. And what's more, what we're involved in is less like a dance than a battle with spiritual enemies that oppose us, our own selfishness that so often holds us back, the pressure of the ideas prominent in the world around us that tempt us and can confuse us. The Christian life, frankly, is often a struggle, and real growth so often comes with difficulty, but over time, rather than instantly and suddenly. I remember being given a poster by a head teacher I used to work with in another parish. It said, "Be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet." You may have seen the same phrase. But it's true, isn't it? That's because Christian growth is gradual, like a growing seed, or like yeast working its way through a batch of bread dough. We need to be patient with ourselves and with one another, not being quick to think badly of each other when we are the victims of a careless phrase or a thoughtless action. And such a perspective helps us to remain humble. Because if I do see some progress in my Christian life, it's not to my credit. It is the evidence rather of God's gracious work in me. The usual experience then of the Christian life is that God's kingdom starts small, it grows gradually, but one day, as in the parables, it will grow to completeness when we finally enjoy a fulfilled relationship with God, unhindered by sin and suffering, weakness and failure. So that is what is ahead of us. But that same pattern is also God's usual way as we think about God's church and the spread of his gospel. In Jesus' two stories, the environments into which the active elements are placed are significant. The garden, where the seed is planted, and the loaf of bread in which the yeast works, represent the world in which we live. The world that doesn't naturally respond positively to God's message. In fact, very often rejects and turns away from it. But the promise of this parable is that it won't always be like that. The garden will one day see the supremacy of the tree which will grow from that tiny seed. The loaf will be altered and transformed by the yeast that is at work within it. So one day when Jesus returns, God's kingdom will be fully known. We see a hint of it in that passage that we had read to us from the first book of the Bible in Genesis 15. There's Abraham, who is given this tremendous promise that through his offspring, God will bless and prosper his work in the world. But Abraham is told to look at the stars. He says, look, I haven't got any children. But God says, starting with you, you will one day have offspring that are like the vast number of stars you can see in the sky. And the New Testament sees that as fulfilled in Jesus, fulfilled in God's kingdom as it reaches completion. And in the words of the final book of the Bible, when Jesus returns, Revelation 11, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So you see, in the end, the growth of the tiny seed of God's kingdom, beginning in Jesus, will be so large, so significant and powerful, that all the nations of the world will find their home in it. That seems to be the idea behind the image of the tree that is based and a fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel in the Old Testament, where the tree of God's kingdom is home for the Gentile nations of the world who beforehand were far, far away from God. And in the end, the kingdom will permeate the whole loaf of the world and bring change like yeast does in dough. It will be fully fulfilled. Now, knowing this great fulfillment is ahead of us should have a powerful effect on how our attitude is, and what our attitude is to the task of seeing that good news, that seed of the gospel shared, and the growth of God's church. You see, it may well be that we're in a time in history, in this part of the world, where things seem harder than they have been before. A place at a time when it's unfashionable to go to church, where there are many anti-Christian ideas actively encouraged in the media, where there's promotion of anti-Christian behavior and those who challenge it are scorned. Even in the organized church, sometimes beliefs and behaviors are advocated which are far from God's intention as he's made them known in his word. But with this hope ahead of us, we need to press on. We know that whilst things may start small, ultimately God's kingdom will be vast in its scope. And this way that we see here of God's way starting small, starting with something unimpressive and unspectacular, but which in his grace will lead to something remarkable, is what we see in the life of the king of the kingdom himself, isn't it? God's loving rule is brought in through a man who was born in obscurity and poverty, a man who was not highly educated, a man who spent just a few years, seemingly in an insignificant way as a travelling preacher, a man who ended his life in apparent defeat and humiliation in a crude form of execution. How weak, how foolish did it all seem? And how unpromising were his followers? A small team of initially unremarkable and ill-equipped people in a remote part of the Middle East. What hope had they of influencing the world? And yet, the message of Jesus has gone to millions upon millions over many centuries. But this is true today, isn't it? So often the church is made up of, frankly, unimpressive people. And yet we belong to one who is working in his world as the seed of his word is sown, and who one day will rule over all things. Now there's a great challenge to us as we think about this, to hold fast to it. In the modern world of information technology and international travel, we're so often most impressed by that which is sizable and spectacular. We can judge things, even in church context, merely by the current numbers, forgetting that God starts small with the tiny seed of his word, which grows gradually, or the yeast which is hidden that permeates the whole dough. It's so easy for us to be seduced by the world's concerns, to be over-concerned, to be impressive, and to assess things merely on superficial things. So it should make us ask, how do we judge our activities and our initiatives here at All Saints Church? Well, it's great, isn't it, when we get large numbers for special events. But actually these things the things that are probably most effective are probably the smaller, more ordinary gatherings which can build, develop and grow over time, where one by one individuals turn to Christ and find their lives gradually changed, and who in turn influence others. Slow, steady progress in the end can be more important and significant than something that looks very impressive but which has very little long-standing effect. So like the growing seed, like the secret effect of yeast, the progress of God's kingdom of grace is so often hidden and slow and gradual. But God will grow his kingdom. He will grow his church as his kingdom extends. Now that may not always be as it has been in the past, because we know that if churches fail to sow the seed of the gospel message, well, they're likely to die. But we need to keep persevering, because what we have ahead of us here is a great future. Well, all this means that we need to have right expectations. Last week we looked at Jesus' most famous parable involving seeds, that is the sower and the soils. And that reminds us that it's the same gospel seed that is sown, but the different soils of human hearts react in different ways. But because not all respond positively, we can so easily get discouraged or try and change the seed of the word, mistakenly thinking that we might get better growth. But actually, if we're to do that, we'll simply remove the power that is within that word. No, we must keep sowing that message, having the perspective that yes, some will be ignored. Yes, some initially might find reception but not last, but some will take root and some will become fruitful. An ordinary farmer sows his seed according to the old English saying, one for the rock, one for the crow, one to die, and one to grow. He knows that you have to sow lots of seeds in order to get some to take. Well, it's similar in the way that we are to sow the seed of the gospel message. And Jesus' parables of the mustard seed and the yeast encourage us to keep going in that process. Because in the end, though things start small and unimpressive, God's kingdom will one day become very large indeed. Well, this last week we saw a new Prime Minister take up office. Apparently, David Cameron is the 12th to serve under our present Queen. Well, Queen Elizabeth's first Prime Minister was Sir Winston Churchill. It's said that Churchill was invited in his old age to speak at a school speech day at an expensive public school. He was introduced, he got to his feet, shuffled to the lectern, and he said, "Never, never, 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 never give up." And then he sat down. That's all he said. Now, Churchill said that presumably because he knew from experience that giving up is a constant temptation. Well, how true that is for us as Christians. And yet if we take seriously these small parables of Jesus, we shall have a perspective that will help us to press on and to keep going in the Christian life and together as God's church. For God's kingdom may well start small, but it will grow gradually. But one day it will grow to complete fullness, so that all those who trust in Jesus throughout the world will find a home, and everything will be focused on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these short, apparently simple stories. And yet we pray that you'll help us to take to heart the central aspect of what they're speaking of. We pray that you would work the seed of the word in our hearts and through our church family here, and indeed throughout the world. Help us to look to that future where one day your kingdom will fully be made known when Jesus returns. And as we anticipate that day, help us to press on and persevere for your glory. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.